Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Satch episode. Satch was from a group called the Nonce from the 90s. It was one of my favorite and still is one of my favorite rap groups. They're from LA, and my favorite part of the episode was when he talked about how he met his partner, the other MC in the group, Yusef Afloat. Rest in peace. I hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show.
To the crib, I would get dibs on the seat with my man OJ and rock beats from La Mert. Parked the 81st when I got home. This was first.
We have a special guest. Please welcome artist from the Nonce, Satch.
Dude, thanks for coming. Oh, we can sit down here now.
Okay.
That was fun. That was fun.
Get comfortable.
How was it, dude?
That was great.
That was great.
You want to do it again? That was great.
It was.
You want some more music?
No, I thought it was good. How do you feel? As long as you feel good about it. It was organic.
The beat
kind of went off and on.
Well, that's not why.
We'll blame it on Kirby. Thanks for coming, man. I'm a big fan. Oh, you brought some tapes too. So this is thanks for this.
Oh yeah.
And man, I grew up listening to you guys. I remember seeing mixtapes on UMTV Raps, Rap City, and this blew up. World Ultimate was that's the album that I bought. So.
I got a new version of that. I did a triple vinyl with HHV.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah,
wow, look at this.
Three
huh?
LPs in there.
And so the viewers out there, if you don't have this album and you like hip hop, please, I mean, you need to peep this stuff. This, you know, because we're trying to kind of pave the histories, because there's so many new things coming out nowadays. I pay homage to this stuff, and I look at your guys' group the same way I look at Tribe, man.
I appreciate
West Coast,
that.
West Coast,
yeah.
A version of like Tribe or Beat Nuts, you know.
Well, you know, we were influenced by by Tribe and De La.
Yeah, I love that's some of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then we had our own mm-hmm. take on, I guess, the using jazz, and
that's what I love, dude.
Yeah, that's
the
still
beats,
my passion.
The beats, your guys' beats, like. Wow.
Thank you.
What'd you use back then, man? I'm just trying to, because I've always wondered that.
We used Akai S950.
Is it something like that?
No, it was a rack mount.
Oh, the sampler?
Yeah, sampler.
Oh.
So we used that with an old Yamaha keyboard MIDI to it.
Oh.
And that's how we made all of those beats, like with the sequencer within that keyboard.
Yeah.
So you
sequenced on the keyboard?
Yeah.
You sampled on the...
We used
the rack mount for the sampler.
As a sampler.
Okay.
And then we used a sequencer in the keyboard.
How much sampling time did you have on that? Because this is back in the... Well, let's just tell him.
64... K or something like that.
This is like 90s in the 90s.
Yeah,
right?
Like, you know, like we had a floppy disk, a 3.5.
Yeah, I was just going to say, those are the ones that took the disks,
yeah.
Right? Wow.
So I probably had maybe 25 seconds of sampling.
Wow.
I mean, that was plenty.
That was plenty because you guys make good use of the...
Yeah.
I always wonder, like, where are they making their beat? I always wonder whenever I listen to anybody.
We use the S950 and then a MIDI trigger.
What'd you guys sample? Just records?
Yeah. And, occasionally we did some live things.
Yeah,
you know, like live sounds. But mostly we chop a sound.
Yeah.
and play it on the keys.
That's what's
up. And then that we're able to make a new, like, you know, like the same, the elements of the sample that we like to hear, but we just,
yeah, yeah,
it wouldn't be that. We could make a new rendition of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love this. I forgot the name of the song, but you dropped another. It was another album that had like a tribe. It had a Five Dog sample, like Peeping Out the Honeys. You know.
Scoping Out the Honeys.
Yeah, Scoping Out the Honeys. That beat was tight, dude.
Oh man, I love that song.
That song was so tight.
That was one song. You know how when you go, I have a vision or I see how we could go and do this, but a label might not.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying?
Because you guys were on, what label did you put World?
We were on Wild West. And then
that's right.
Wild West. Then we got with American. And like that song, Scoping Out the Honeys, we were like,
that song was tight, dude. That beat.
It was dope. And then
it had this beeping sound, like beep, beep, beep.
It was something in how the snares and the kicks were recorded. It's really dope.
Yo, dude.
And we had a remix for it too. The remix was incredible.
Hey, what song? What album was that on? So these cats.
It never came out on a.
But it's on YouTube. Like if you search, it's on one of them, like a B-side.
It's like I think I put it on one of my like Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Something like that. But
man, I'm so hyped you're here, dude. This is like. Man, yeah,
that was like I was saying. That was one of the times where I was like, "This is a single. This is dope." And they were like,
"You guys made it together." And you and Yousef, like, you guys make beats together.
Yeah.
I want to go back though. Let's go back. We're gonna get into this. I want to go back, like,
sure,
how you met, like, all them Project Blow dudes, like, how you even got, like, how you met Yousef Afloat, how you got the record deal, how, you know, all that stuff. That's where I want to start. So, you're from LA?
Yes, I'm from LA.
Are you thirsty at all, man?
A little bit.
Hey, can you get him a seltzer? Can you get him sparkling water? And then we got some snacks. You want a fizzy cola? Gummy? You got to try these, man. Just try some of these. Fizzy cola.
Okay.
And then get him, there you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you're from Los Angeles?
I'm from Los Angeles.
Okay.
I grew up in the Vermont Knolls.
Okay.
Which is in the area, I guess, 79th in Vermont, maybe 83rd.
Okay.
In Vermont, that's my area. Mm-hmm. That's where I got hip to everything.
Oh, like music?
Mm-hmm.
What, because the record stores and stuff?
A record store across the street.
Uh-huh.
You know, like...
Yeah, let me get this for you.
I'm a little older than...
Me too. But I already got that vibe from you.
I'm from the era where there was like the liquor store was halfway the record store.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it always had a record stand.
Where they had records?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just like, you know, like how some place would have comic books.
Oh.
They also would have a record stand.
Damn, that's cool. So you're a kid going to the store and then peeping out records and everything?
Yeah, like my dad, he was really into blues and jazz. He was into everything. He loved records. And like I said, where we grew up at, on Normandy and Slauson,
there was
Cadet Records. Oh. So the swap meet is further up,
uh-huh.
But right on the corner of Slauson and Normandy was Cadet Records. Cadet Records was a distributor.
Oh,
and
what kind of records?
Every kind of record.
Yeah, every record.
Everything. Whatever. Everything.
Disco, jazz, funk.
Everything that came out. Came there.
Okay.
And then all of the record stores went and shopped there. But my dad found out that he could shop there too. So they actually had a box, which was like a what do you call it? Like a, you didn't know what was going to be in the box. Mm-hmm. And you got, you know, some of everything, but some of what you wanted, probably some stuff you didn't want, yeah. But
some jams once in a while, maybe.
So he would, every, you know, other payday, he would go and just go records. Do that, you know, and get the wow. box and bring the box in.
A whole box.
Yeah, the whole box. Oh, a whole box cool. of records. And,
that's cool.
And, you know, so I got like doubles of all, yeah, a lot of yeah. stuff. And
how old were you?
I was a child. You know, I was, yeah, I grew up with. Oh. Like lots of records, yeah. But I didn't know hip hop.
Yeah.
Then I just knew, you know, my dad had records, and
that's
you know,
cool.
I like to sit and, you know,
and listen to the records.
Listen to records and look at the covers. Mm-hmm. You know, he had that stack right in the front. He had a component set, and mm-hmm. he used to make like little like blues 8-track tapes. It's like so.
Your dad did?
Yeah, my dad. So like, I guess it's in my blood. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's like he's. He influenced me from, you know, from the jump. So he's mm-hmm. making all these tapes to send back to my family in Louisiana mm-hmm. and, you know, keeping them hip on what he mm-hmm. think is hip.
Yeah.
And I would always peep that. And he had, you know, a taste that was like, you know, he liked mostly blues, mm-hmm. but he also liked country, like jazz.
You he like country too?
Yeah, he liked country.
Oh, so he liked it all.
Yeah, and so like, you know, as a kid, I'm rolling with my pop. So mm-hmm.
Are you an only child?
No, I have two sisters okay. and a brother, but they were all grown
okay.
when I came along. So I kind of was raised by myself.
But, oh, that's cool. That's what's up.
You know, so.
So this is what year? In the 70s or I'm yeah. I'm feeling this like 70s or 80s.
Yeah, this was in the 70s.
Okay.
And I mean, I remember going to the record store and getting the Sugar Hill Gang with my dad.
Uh-huh. I remember them.
Rapper's Delight.
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing what it was and having to kind of say a little bit of the song to get the guy to know what the record was, but he knew just what it was. And he yeah, was like, "Oh, yeah. I got you." He grabbed it off the shelf, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. And I mean, that's.
Who are some of your favorite? So that was your first exposure to rap or hip hop?
Well, like, yeah, Sugar Hill Gang and Curtis Blow were my first exposures. Mm-hmm. Sugar Hill Gang was the first rap record I ever had.
Well, what were the ones where you're like, got like, whoa, these guys are tight? Like,
well, that happened later.
Oh, you know, like, okay, yeah.
Before that, it was just amazement because it wasn't anything like you know, where we're in LA, so we have a certain start point of hearing hip hop versus, you know, where it originated. Mm-hmm. You know, it had a whole life before it got to us.
Right,
that first
time.
So,
yep.
You know, we have a different little take on it. So I only heard one rap song, which mm-hmm. was Rapper's Delight. Then I heard a second one, which was Curtis Blow mm-hmm. Christmas Rap
mm-hmm.
in that like order. That was mm-hmm. it. It wasn't like, you know, like everybody around the corner rap or anything yeah. like that.
This is before Kumo D.
We didn't
Run
know
DMC.
Any of that. It wasn't New York, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
New York had that.
They had that
like where every, you know, it was a thing already, like they built it.
New York, yeah.
Here it kind of like debuted, you know, like in a song, like a whole culture debuted in a song to us, you know what I'm saying? Like where we built off of that. Like, so.
What were some of the first West Coast crews to come out? Like, since you brought it up. Because you said it, New York, but then like, because I look at you guys kind of like OG heads, like.
I mean, like I said, it's had a lot of lives. And
yeah.
When I was a kid, it was like Toddy T, Mixmaster Spade, like.
See, I
like,
never even heard of these like, cats.
Okay, so see these dudes, they're from Compton.
Yeah. So this is before like NWA this, okay, and all yeah, that
this
stuff.
This predates that. Like, okay, so
I love this. This is the history right here.
There wasn't like a record thing mm-hmm. going on.
But there was a scene?
It was a scene. It was more like a tape scene. Mixtapes.
Oh.
That's where you heard MCs, like neighborhood MCs, they be on a mixtape. And that's mm-hmm. where I got to hear Toddy T and Mixmaster Spade. There's several other ones that you know, kind of after they made tapes, they made records.
Oh, that's how they got their buzz going. They're,
you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't to get a buzz. It was just cool.
But people liked it.
Yeah, people liked it.
It
was strictly just for the homies, like, kind of thing. Like, it wasn't like, oh, we going to one day make it with this. Or it was just like,
this
is not going on the radio because it was X-rated.
I made this on the weekend. Here, check it out. Peep it out.
Yeah, but okay, like they had a style like.
What do you think, Bryce? This is history right here. This dude, he's like mapping out pre. Keep going. Hey, man, you should try this though, man, because okay. I've been dying for you to taste that because I know you're thirsty. Yeah, there's no sugar. That's sparkling water there. There you go. This is great, man. I love the history. I love it. Yeah, let's just keep going on this.
There wasn't. How can I say it?
You're right. He loves you, dude.
Yeah.
Jeez, he loves you.
He
cried when you left.
He wants to
buy
it.
He cried.
The style of doing these songs and stuff, like, it wasn't someone like with a drum machine or with any kind of skill like that.
Pause tapes?
They were rhyming over the instrumentals of other rap records. You feel me? So like, yeah, we didn't even start from. We had to kind of learn breaks and different stuff. It was
pre-samplers too. Then
yeah. And they would basically parody. They would parody a popular song. You know, like, say Houdini, like, the freaks come out at night, or it wouldn't be the freaks come out at night, it'd be something else. They'll change it, you know, but keep it in the same, you know, like, it's the same trend that was happening, you know, like.
So kind of like karaoke?
Okay, like, remember Roxanne?
Roxanne.
And then they had a million other people answered that song.
Yeah, yeah. That was a big hit, right?
Yeah, it was a big hit. Yeah, it was also a trend thing that happened. Oh. And it was, for a moment, it was so fresh to have a Roxanne rap. Like, some kind of, if you can insert yourself into this story.
Yeah.
it was dope. And
so they're recording at home? Or just doing it over like a tape recorder?
Yeah, like on a 4-track.
Oh.
And
4-tracks. Well, these people probably don't know what a 4-track is. Like,
okay.
Because we're in the digital era, you know. Like, that's
right.
Why.
Okay.
Like, this is even not even. This is an 8-track, but 4-tracks were on tapes.
Yeah, 4-tracks are on cassette tape. You know, like a regular cassette tape is A side, B side.
Yep.
Okay, it's still the same tape.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So a 4-track, the heads read A side, B side, C side, mm-hmm. D side. It reads both sides at the same time, yeah, in the same direction.
Yeah,
it's really dope.
Yeah,
It makes it where you can do pause mixes. You can do lots of things that you would do in the studio, like writing your house. Yeah. The sound quality at a point
fuzzy,
wasn't
fuzzy,
yeah, it wasn't that hissing. Good. But you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You can get tunnel.
You get to display your idea.
Yeah.
And so how'd you get your first tracking machine? You must have been the popular kid, like, having, that's like having a studio back then, right?
I conned my pops to get it. I conned him. I did.
So back then,
it was shameful.
Well, no, that's cool, man. Hey. That's your dad, though.
Yeah, you know, he knew what's up. Look,
yeah. How old were you?
I was probably 14, 15, maybe.
Damn,
yeah, so somewhere around there.
Wow.
And my cell was like, look, Dad, if I get the 4-track, I can take one of your tapes that's like 60, because he's big on recording, mm-hmm, like the radio, and like he loves his blues shows and things like that, right? I'm like, I can quadruple your recording. I'll record your shows on the track and just let it run for, and then like we'll do another track and I was convincing them how I could,
yeah,
how could, yeah, I did a couple,
yeah,
a couple, but not, you know, but that was the,
yeah,
the pitch to be like, I need this 4-track.
That's cool.
Hey, he got it for me.
Where did he go get it?
Guitar Center.
Oh, Guitar Center back. So back then there was a Guitar Center?
Yeah. We've been going to that Guitar Center forever.
Yeah,
in the 80s.
Do you know Guitar Center was around back then?
I thought it was
in yours. I thought it was like kind of new. Like
nice. It's been around forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
So back then, what kind of stuff they have at Guitar Center for like making beats or recording and stuff?
All of the Kai products.
MPCs were already out?
No, MPCs weren't there
but
yet.
That one?
It was, you know, that probably was.
Yeah.
But it was mostly rack mounts.
Samplers.
They had other brands that made samplers mm-hmm. too that were there, like Korg.
Korg, they're still around.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Rack mount sampler. We had one. The very first sampler I ever put my hands on was a Korg sampler. It was a trip.
Was it a keyboard?
No, it was a rack mount.
It was a rack mount Korg,
and it wouldn't save. It never would save. So we would always.
What about the disc? It
wouldn't save. It was some, you know, like it, you know, sometimes sometimes they you get a piece of equipment and it's just bad. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, like his will work fine, mm-hmm. but the one you has it just has a flaw in it. You know, it was just like you know one of those things.
But didn't you get a? Can you return it and get a refund and get a new one?
I mean, yeah. You know, but
you didn't want to mess with doing that, all that.
Nah.
Yeah. So it wouldn't save. So you would how do you record?
Okay.
You would have to just record it then and there.
So we had different, like to start on how you know we actually recorded. Let me go back.
Yeah. This is great. This is history. Okay. Man.
So we didn't have any examples. To be like, oh, you go get this, you go get that. Yeah. You know, we kind of like figured it out.
This is all new.
You know? Yeah, new, totally new. We knew we wanted to make music and we wanted to make beats, mm-hmm. but we really didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, then we started realizing, you know, like the records. Oh, we have records. We have the records that everything is being made.
Yeah.
You know, at the time when we're, you know, mm-hmm. kids was on the radio, we had all those records. So we started learning how to do pause mix, where it's
explain
like
explain to them what a pause mix is.
Okay,
to the viewers.
So before we had a sampler, we did what's called a pause mix, and that's when you play a portion of the song. Usually like the source is another tape, so yeah, double cassette deck.
Okay. Yep.
Or you can do it on the 4-track. We did it. We did it both ways. Like if we just wanted the tape to play for each other, we did it on the boombox.
Yeah.
So like you have the beat that you want to sample on the one tape.
Yeah.
And then you got the tape that you record on. Record, play.
Pause.
Then stop, you go. Rewind.
Repeat process. Just a loop of to a loop of break.
Yeah, the loop of break.
That must have taken forever, dude.
But then once you had it,
it was
killing. Like it was like ooh, I took you all day. But like I got five minutes of fucking drummer.
Just like a loop, like a break beat.
Yeah.
Kids have it so good now. They just got their phones
But you know what? That's all good too.
Yeah.
Because that's the nature of man is to improve and make like, okay, you don't gotta go out and like rub two sticks together for your fire.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll let you use the lighter, you know what I'm saying? Like here's but some people get mad, they be like, man, these fuckers get to use the lighter, man. We have to rub two sticks together. Yeah. But hey, I look at it like let's use all the tools. We use all the tools. I want to use digital. I want to use analog. Mm-hmm. I don't want nobody to tell me anything about it. I'm gonna just do it, and you're gonna hear it, and that's what it's gonna, you know, it's not gonna be like a, you know, it's snobbery going on with, you know, audio, but you know, I'm somewhat of, you know, but certain things.
Well, you come from a different school too, man. Like a lot of these kids don't know, like the history you're saying. This is like probably new. I mean, do you know half the stuff he was talking about?
Barely a tenth of it.
Like, and I'm sure a lot of even artists don't know what you're talking about. They're like, what?
Well, like, you know, so like the tape, the things being on tape and things being digital, you know, like I guess I am blessed to have been in a world where it was only the tapes.
Yeah.
You know, it's only like, you know, that's like when you leave the studio, you get a tape.
You get a tape, yeah.
Not a CD, not a, you know, a tape. And then
and you got your 4-track master tape.
Yeah.
Like hey, you guard it.
I did. We used to do the poor man copyright. We used to like mail it to ourselves. And,
oh, and, right.
And I actually found these, and I was like, I just opened them. I was like, nobody's stealing this stuff, you know?
So, like, when did you start, like, actually, like, developing songs, and when did you meet, like, when did you go to Blowed? Is that, like, years later? That must have been decades.
That's years later. Lifetimes. This is all kind of different lifetimes. I was in high school. And we did this.
Who's we?
Well, I say we. I just generalize, but
yeah.
I was in high school, and probably this is 1987. I started going to iFresh.
What's iFresh?
iFresh was the precursor to all of those things, to the good life, to it was before all that. So it was Ben Caldwell, same as, you know, he has Chaos Network, where they hold Project Bloat. And he was holding this thing every week. I don't think it was on a Thursday. I think it was on a Friday, I think. But it could have been Thursday. I don't remember.
You mean like at a little event?
Well, you know where Chaos is, right? Where they?
Not really.
Okay,
no.
So it's right on the corner in Leimert Park.
Okay,
so that's always been there. Okay, he's always had this spot. Right.
Is it like a little store or something?
No, it's not a store. It's like a work, artist,
workshop, maybe
creative space type kind of, you know, like, but way before anybody was having any kind of creative spaces for so like he was basically offering the youth in the area that was interested in hip hop to come there and be there instead of be, you know, anywhere else, you know, like and we got to like get down, you know, like he gave us a stage. He was like, he set up a camera and he was like,
it was like a workshop.
And he's like, let me hear it. Let me go, you know, go. And
so you performed.
Yeah. The first day I walked in there. I gotta tell you, let's go back a little further. All right, so I'm working with Mixmaster Wolf. We were in a crew together, like as kids, you know.
Is he still around?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm working with him, and we make beats in his dad's studio. His dad is Myongo Jackson, and he's a percussionist that played on all kind of stuff. Stevie Wonder, Miles Davis, all kind of, you know. And he's on tour. He's gone. So we in the studio, that's how I got to use a Korg sampler. That's how I got to, you know, see what a four track is. Who would have that? Only somebody's dad who's in the, you know.
He's doing it.
So, but we kind of was taking over it. But he would be gone. We were like running it.
That's
like,
cool.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was cool. Yeah. But he came home one time.
You made a whole demo.
We made all kind of tapes.
Yeah.
When he came home one day, it was like, y'all got to get the hell out my studio. Like, really? Like, And we were like, oh, just heartbroken. It was like, oh, damn, what are we going to do now?
But then you had this new place.
Well, he brought us there.
Oh, he's like, you could go here.
Yeah, he's like, I'm bringing y'all here and get out of my studio and y'all go here. And that's how we got introduced to iFresh, you know. All right, so now.
So you were around precursor before Blowed. This is before Project Blowed.
Yeah. This is before Blowed. Wow. Like, I remember AC coming over.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his, man.
And telling me the idea of Project Blowed. Like, I got the idea for this thing called Project Blowed.
He came up with it? Or Mike? This is before he even met the other dudes?
No. This is, okay, so I guess we got to do like a history.
Yeah. Please do. That's why you're here, dude.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying? Like, no, you...
At one point, people had a fantasy that, like, we all lived, like, on the same block somehow. Like, you know, like, everybody, like, they thought the Far Side lived there. Sure. Freestyle Fellowship lived there. Yeah. We lived here. Like, it was like one big, you know. Yeah, it's not that. You know, you got to kind of know how like the things unfolded
but this
or whatever.
Is before
but,
Far Side, right?
Yeah, it's before Far Side. But... It's a definite like order of I was listening. I used to listen to Mike Nardone's show, and I would hear the song, and I was like, "Who is this?" I didn't know who it was. I didn't know everybody. You know, I didn't know people for a minute.
Wait, thought, rappers?
Rappers.
Yeah, yeah.
For like after iFresh, I thought most people just stopped rapping. I mean, I was doing it for their, you know, skill, like just the hobby of doing it. I couldn't find anybody, so you know, I didn't think it was hardly anybody doing it until like
that show, radio show,
Good Life.
Oh, the Good Life.
Well, Good Life and that show. So the show let me hear what was going on at the Good Life. You know, they were playing
freestyles or something.
No, they would play "To Whom It May Concern," Freestyle That's Fellowship, great, and they would play 120 seconds. Yeah. Happy birthday to me! To me!
That's an AC song.
Yeah, AC song. And I'll be like, he just play Cypress Hill, and then he play that, and I'll be like, both of those blowing my mind, right? Because I'm like Cypress Hill, like V-Real's voice, on that early
Bugs. Woo, his production, man.
Yeah, super dope production. Mm-hmm. Illest horns.
Oh,
you know, like that whole thing. And he had that sound. I remember, like, look, I know we're taking a tangent, but
no, I love it. Whatever you're doing, I love every second of it. We're good. Let's keep rolling.
Speaking of Cypress Hill, it was Arsenio Hall.
I remember that show.
And it was like the Beastie Boys.
Dude,
and it was like that the I beat. Love, I was like, oh, that's a Muggs beat. I was like, oh, that's Muggs. Like,
I love that.
And then when B-Real came out, like, he just came out and did a part, and it was just like,
man, his voice,
it was so dope. Yeah, his voice is classic. Classic.
Damn, that was a great time in music, man.
It was. Wow. I always thought too, you know how certain MCs blow up, like it's a route. Now I won't say like they're blowing up because they're planning it or something like that. People wish they probably could do that, but it's just a natural thing. And then they'll guest on different records until their thing comes. But every guest is like, they're killing it. They're like super. Just like it's almost like you could just see it. You could just see it. Like, who's on it? Like Busta Rhymes on it. You know, like,
is Razzcast from out here too?
You know, honestly, I'm not sure exactly where Raz is from. I know he's from California, but I'm not sure exactly where though.
Yeah,
Raz is dope. Yeah. Raz is dope lyrically.
So we're in the 90s now.
Okay, so. We gotta finish with the 80s.
Let's go.
Okay,
we gotta
finish with the 80s, because I gotta tell you how we learn it may be.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so we get the S950, but previously we had just the keyboard. So Yusef is a genius. He can play by ear. So
really?
Yeah. So if you get 1990, which is this record that like predates World Ultimate, and it shows
before the album. Yeah, oh this, yeah, I saw that online. Yeah.
This.
So
can people
buy this now?
Yeah, for a limited time, because they're almost sold out.
Where can they get this? Where can they buy this?
They can get it from me. Okay. Just hit me at satchelpages@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to order any of these vinyls, if you want to go to the distributor, just go to fatbeast.com. They have it. Well, I think they still have it. They're approaching selling out. So,
we'll toss those links.
We'll do this at the end too. Yeah.
So this album shows a lot of our MIDI production.
Mm-hmm.
Cause before we had the sampler, we were just MIDI, and we were trying to make funky beats in music that sounded like a beat, but we couldn't sample. It was really frustrating.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. And then, but we had a whole style that came out of that.
Mm-hmm. This is you and Yusef?
This is me and Yusef.
How'd you guys meet?
High school. We had like homeboys we kicked it with. And I was in the ninth grade. He was in 10th grade. And like,
how do you know he did music?
We didn't. We
just hung out with him?
Yeah, we just hung out. Like it was like, I believe it was like summer, was coming. Wow. And then I was like, oh, here, let me give you my number. Yeah. So we can, kick it. Cause you just peep someone you cool.
You got that vibe. He's cool, dude.
Yeah. Cause we used to peep each other. He'd be like, he had a style cause he was, over on the west side, mm-hmm. and I was south central. So I had b-boy style, he had b-boy style, but even though we were in LA, we mm-hmm. had slightly different styles, and we had a different way of talking.
Man, you guys' voices complemented each other so good on the on those songs.
I love
man.
How that oh that does.
He had a unique vocal style too,
and
dude.
It changed a lot too. It was just naturally changed. Like sometimes mm-hmm. he'll be like this, and he'll be like that.
You go high too though.
Yeah, I gotta like my when I see my voice imprinted like in a wave, it's pretty strong.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
when you guys developed those rhyme styles, because you guys had a unique rhyme style sound and everything.
A development of just trying to impress each other.
Oh, just you and him?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just me and him and growing and learning.
Yeah,
And then back to trying to just impress each other.
And you both made beats?
Yeah, we both made beats.
See, that's like, boom, double combo.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of crews are like that, man.
Yeah, so we both made beats, and it'll be like...
I
was telling somebody that we had a very odd way of communicating how we construct the beats. But it's not odd. It's actually something.
You had formulas.
Yeah, like we describe the sounds and the colors a lot. And I didn't know that was a thing. I just thought we just did that. Like it's like this beat is this color. It's got this kind of shade to the horn or something. We just describe it like that. And so he could build it to me. I could build it to him. And I knew exactly what I know what records to go to get this sample like that. Like, you want that brown. You need this break right here. Like, it was dope.
And so you guys helped each other in production, too?
Yeah. Like, it was really easy. It was more like having an idea was the most thing. So it was like, we could make it. It's just like, well, what are we going to make? It was like, okay, got ideas. So we have constant, back and forth. Dude. And that's.
Do you document any of that back then? Like, on a camcorder or anything?
A very little bit.
Documentary, documentary.
We went to some studio, I think it was like Track Studio or something, and I think I had the camcorder, and we were like taping, like leaving the studio, and we just just talking or whatever. I was always into like recording, kind of thing. So but as I'm doing it, I'm walking with the sampler, and I like bang it on the pole.
Oh, because it's heavy, it's big.
No, because I'm trying to do the camera and I'm trying to walk and And then I was like, okay, I'm not gonna do that. Don't worry, we always had a good time. We could have probably documented more, but we were like really like working hard in the studio. Like,
so when did you come up with the name and crafting songs and all this stuff?
So after we became good friends that summer. I realized like he wanted to sing.
He wanted to sing?
Yeah, he wanted to sing. He wasn't a rapper. He wanted to be a singer. And but over hip hop beats. Like before New Jack Swing, this is like, so when New Jack Swing came,
it was like Troop or like R&B stuff. Troop,
like Ready for the World. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, like those type of, and he could sing too.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, he could sing.
I don't doubt it. Mm-hmm.
And we had a plan, and it was like, okay, so if you make it, you know, like you have fantasies, you know, like, but actually everything happened in a sense, you know, but it was like, okay, if you get signed, if you get like, then you'll bring me and then you put me on. And then like, if I get, you know, get on, then I'm gonna put you on. Cause you'll be, you know, you'll be singing and then you'll just do whatever. Yeah, you'll just go. That was our,
did you make a demo? Can we hear any of this singing stuff that he did back in the,
yeah, I actually have, a lot of,
I would love to hear that.
Like, right, you know, I guess before, you know, like our last music, I have some stuff of him singing, and dude, it's like his music and stuff. I mean, he's like amazing, man. I'm like,
dude, you gotta put, how about, you should make a, like a whole fresh album of just him.
Yeah,
like a homage, like a homage to Yusef Flo.
I have an album, Foreign Objects of his, which is like his last thing that he did.
Yeah.
And I got it mastered, so I'm gonna release it like as a, because it's dope. It's,
oh, dude, I would love to hear it.
This one's not out yet.
Nah,
no, it's not out.
I mean, you know, some people have just heard it, but it's like it trips me out because anytime I guess like a close friend or something is gone, but yet they leave these things. They're of them speaking, and like, you know, people go through changes, and you so it's like even them speaking, and then them speaking on a level where you're like, damn, this is really like telling me some shit, you know, saying from beyond. Because when I listen to it, I think like mentally, he like elevated somehow, like. You know, like we were always like I said, like we were impressed. We were like together, so, but we were brothers, and we're like, you know, not like blood brothers, but like soul brothers.
Oh, for sure. You know what I'm saying?
So we're progressing, and I'm looking at him like, am I gonna, you know, like the equivalent of like, am I gonna get like, you know, a goatee, you know, my mustache, am I gonna get a mustache one day? You know, I'm young, you know, I don't know if I'm growing. Oh,
is he older than you?
He's a little bit older than me, but I'm speaking more of that's the feeling, but trade the am I gonna get a mustache or will I have a beard with your creativity? Am I gonna become like a full artist? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm watching him do it. I'm watching him like being like trying not to be like, hey, wait for me. You know what I'm saying? But watching him change, and you know, I'm wondering if I'm a, you know, gonna get that or not, or what, you know.
That's crazy. I had no idea he sang. I thought he was always a rapper.
No, he sang, and we did a song, and he sang like the chorus, and then I was like, dude, just do a part. And then, but he, you know, he wanted to, you know, said it wasn't,
he
like
to sing.
He sang the part.
But you want to do a little couple bars.
I
want to
do and because I was just like, just do it. I mean, not like do it, but like I could hear it. I could see, you know, like let me just hear.
Or you heard it in the voice, like you heard it in his delivery, like
in him.
You just knew he could do it.
Yeah, you know, like even though he said he wanted to be a singer, I'm still like,
come on, just do it.
Yeah, like so when I said do it, he did it, and then it was like. See, and then we did another one. Then we did another. Then it was like, then it was
I love it.
And
you got it out of him.
Yeah,
you got it out of him.
And fresh, man. I went on a trip to visit my sister, and I have my thesaurus, and I'm looking around in my thesaurus. I just like to look through it for stuff. I'm addicted to words, and I found the word knots while I was on this vacation, and I'm way far, you know, I'm in Louisiana.
I love it, man.
And it's the beginning of the vacation. It's not even like the end, so it's like I got 2 weeks before I get back to be, you know, like, okay, what you think, you know? So I sat with it for
you came up with two.
Yeah. And I mean, it fit so well what we were trying to, you know, ultimately will want to do, like say, like to make up words in a song. It was like, you know, like
break down the word to the viewer. Break it down. Yeah.
So the knots means to make up words in a song, which was the epitome of what we wanted to be trying to do, is to make slang that everyone is saying, or just to, you know, it could even be styles of gear, you know, how people dress, and, you know, like how, you know, I tie my shoestring, or just everything is something, you know, and I mean, that's what fueled a lot of things. 'Cause like I said, like the way like hip hop and everything unfolded to us is a little different than how
seems like more organic with you guys. You guys just kind of, because you guys were friends.
Yeah, we were.
Then you got him to rap, and then
we were friends, and then we both had about the exact same exposure
to music,
to you know, well, to hip hop, and things like everything I heard, he heard, and then he might heard a little bit more. Because
so, what were you guys checking out back then? Like when you guys were together, like what kind of groups do you guys look up to? Like, oh yeah, they're tight, or.
Well, I had ones that I liked that I thought I would hip Yusuf to. I mean, you know, we're young, you know what I'm saying? So I would play like, here's this, Eric B and Rakim, right? He'll play Ultramagnetic.
I knew you were going to say that.
He liked
Ultramagnetic.
He really liked Ultramagnetic. Cool Keith.
Yeah. I'm a fan of his.
Yeah, me too.
Tight. Yeah,
me too.
He's
I'm
tight.
super fan of Cool Keith. Cool Keith is fucking dope.
Yeah.
And we would just pick things apart. Like both of us, we listened to stuff, and I don't know why we thought we could just be like, yo, that scratch was like, you know, like just like this little part, like they could have, like, we critiquing, like,
oh, you guys were analyzing,
we're like trying to, and I say trying to, we just
naturally,
because you guys are a student,
really studied it.
This
is crazy, man. This dude.
What we did to really figure out beats was listen to Public Enemy.
Bomb Squad.
Yep. And we listened to Premier. Prince Paul.
Shout out to Prince Paul.
That's what taught us how to.
What about Pete Rock?
Pete Rock, too. Well, Pete Rock.
Large Professor. Yeah.
Large Professor. Okay, so all of those, and maybe not exactly in the order that I stated, but like the order that they were revealed to us here in LA, we studied all of those. And you know, how to combine the breaks and the samples and the MIDI. That was the key. Like to have all of them together, that makes the knot sound in certain little techniques that we do on, you know, vibes and horns and things. We have little things that we process them, you know,
through the integrated into the beat,
like when we mix. Horns, if you listen to a Nas record, the horns are always EQ'd. Like, say if we're like right here and you have...
Do you pan them?
Yeah.
I knew it. Because I'd hear them like... Mm-hmm. It's trippy, too. Like, if you listen to their sound in headphones, it's kind of trippy because you feel like it's hitting you in different ways.
It's panned,
you know what I'm saying?
And then it's going to the beat.
It's set to the tempo of the track. That's tight.
And so it's like, and the beat, like, you know, like it could be like a buzz. We have buzzes because, like I said, like we listen to Public Enemy. We used to, you know, so we put all that stuff in there, but we'll pan it and we'll EQ it a certain kind of way. So like the horns sit here, the drums sit here, the roads, you know, it has a space
that's the non sound right there.
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Yeah. And people tripped that it was just just a 950, you know.
Wow.
But after that, Yusuf used a Dub 30.
What's a Dub 30?
Rolling keyboard.
Okay.
Is that a sampler workstation? It's everything. So it's got synth sounds and you can sample on it.
On the keys?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Another master that was Thavius. He was a master of the Dub 30 too.
Oh, shout out to Thavius.
Incredible on the Dub 30. Like where certain, you know, certain people can rock beats, you know.
Mm-hmm. He mastered Ableton by now, right? I mean, he does workshop. He like he teaches workshops and stuff.
He knows all that. Yeah. All that. Every like you know he's on something new every year. Yeah. Like a new like because he.
Who's
Dave? We did it.
I just peep him and Gino on Amoeba. They would drop new albums all the time. I'd be at the cash register like, how are these fools dropping all this new music? They're like on this label, on that label. I was just peeping them like, these guys are like prolific as hell.
I just
yeah, like
work 100
with, albums in the system. Like Gino, like subtitle, you went by subtitle back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, yeah. I just worked with Davius last year. I got a crew called Name Science.
Yeah, I was just gonna. I wrote that down. Name Science. I saw it on your Instagram.
And we did a whole album with Davius, and it's cool. It's dope. It's like it's really fresh. We got a master, so it's like we're sitting on it right now and trying to figure.
Yeah.
What you know? What's what? But it's gonna be really dope, and it's called When You Get Here.
Cool. So look out for that, viewers.
Yeah.
I want to know when y'all got signed. For the not like how you like.
Okay.
You got discovered.
Well, we were going through it. We were active as youngsters trying to get on labels and, you know, that thing. We had like a tunnel vision for that because that was.
Back then, that's all you had to do that.
Yeah. I think first we got with this guy named Tony Haynes, who was he's a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think he wanted to sign us to like his like you know like publishing probably mm-hmm. something like that.
How did you hear about you guys?
Through a mutual friend.
Okay.
So we weren't actually called the Knots so much right then. We had made a song. You know, call the not song. Now this is way before all that.
This is before the picnic song.
This is way before. This is like this is just the beginning of us. You know what I'm saying? And Tony would introduce us like as the Knots brothers or something like that. Oh. You know, like we didn't have a name. We didn't even have a name for our crew. We was just like.
But it was always you two though.
Yeah, it was just always us. So he kept, and we would be like, no, don't say that. Like, don't say Nas Brothers, or that's too, like, Jungle Brothers, you know, who we love.
We didn't want that, that was too personal,
you know, mm-hmm. like, and then he was like, the Knots. I was like, all right, that's fine, it. Whatever, there you go. We're good. And just like that, you know, so it didn't really work out with Tony. So we went to this label called Sedona. Mm. So Sedona, we worked with Sedona for maybe a year. And that's how that 1990 mm-hmm. Album comes about. So actually, let me correct that. So we worked with Sedona first, and then we fell out with them over creative differences.
Oh, they wanted to
change
your sound?
What is up with that? I mean, like, why would, like... It never. Me and Yusef could never tolerate that. We could never, ever, ever talk. We were kids, and we was telling grown men, like, you know, fuck you. We're not doing this. We're not. Nah, you know, like, huh? You want, like, you know, we had like strong ethics about like our music and what we thought. You know, it went through every label was the same way in a sense. They never can see what they really have. They know what they want. They want what the other person got. They want what is already blown hot. Up. But what blew up was something that just blew up. So you push what you have and make it blow up. You know, you expose what you're doing. You don't try to copy the other thing just to be in the cookie cutter machine to be played. It's not gonna last. It's not gonna, you know. I try not to do any songs I don't feel or want to do to avoid any kind of emotional
integrity right there. Yeah, you know, come on, man, that's cool.
You know, so
especially in today's age, man. Because yeah. I also want to talk about that in a few minutes. But keep going, man.
So they basically wanted to change the way we were doing our production. You know, and
that's your sound, dude.
Yeah, they had no idea. They didn't understand. That's why those tapes were sitting in that locker for like all this time, and I just got them because, you know, they were whoever was renting out the studio space now was like, get rid of all of it. They never, like, Nonsense did all kind of stuff, right? You know what I'm saying? But they never were even awake to be like, oh, we could do this now. We could put the. You know, like no-brainer type kind of things. Well, anyway, you know, that's just the nature of, you know, how those labels
were.
The
record business, yeah.
So, you know, we parted ways with them. And then shortly after, you know, we met up with Tony. And then after that, we got with Wild West. So that's like the progression to get to Wild West. Wild West was really cool. It was located right there on Melrose.
Oh, that close?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Right off of Melrose. And they gave me the freedom, or gave us the freedom, to go in and record. You know, like to get sessions in, like, you know, I learned how to do a session, and, you know, they trusted us, you know, to get in there and go, like, you know, get a project done.
Who worked the board, though?
We had an engineer.
Oh, you had an engineer. Okay,
we had an engineer,
okay.
But, you know, like, we didn't need any other producer. Anyone there. Yeah. Yeah, you know. So, funny story is that when I did mixtapes, like the original version of mixtapes, I did it on 4-track. And AC came over and he picked it up for Project Blow.
Oh, for a compilation there,
yeah,
dude?
Yeah, it was, yeah, because I didn't even get this to the label. I gave it to AC because I was like, how, you know, what are they going to control everything I do? I'm not here. You know, so I gave it to him, right?
Yeah. He loved it, I bet.
Yeah,
I
mean, he did. But I got this call from the label.
Saying, what? Oh, because it was already leaked?
Yeah. And they was like, we got this tape. And they got one of your songs on there. That's you, right? It's like, what's up with that song? And they was like, why you didn't just bring it to us? We would have put it out. I was like, because that wasn't how the song came about. It wasn't like, here's this like song, let's go see what label we could get. It wasn't that. It was, wow. Oh, I got this dope song here. You know, it was just like that. Like, oh, you need it? This is perfect for that? Take it. Boom. It wasn't like, oh, let's think about the label first or anything like that. So they were like,
but that compilation, a lot of heads listen to that compilation.
Well, I mean, my label, it got back to my label like within a week.
Yeah,
they called me, was like, what's up with this song? And then I was like, it's nothing up with the song. And they was like, well, can we record it? And I was like, yeah, let's record it. Fine. You like it? That's cool. I didn't do it to be like, you know, y'all need to make this a song.
No, you just did it.
Yeah, I just did it. And
so, is the 4-track version still out there?
It's the Project Blow.
Oh, it's just on there. Mm-hmm. What compilation is that? What's the Blow compilation called?
Is Project Blow? I don't know. The first one, number one,
okay,
you know,
number one.
With the light bulb.
Okay,
and,
who else was on that?
CVE, Volume 10. There's a heavyweight song on there with everybody, Freestyle Fellowship.
Okay,
Medusa.
So it's classic
yeah,
album, yeah,
yeah, super classic.
Okay, yeah. So you recorded mixtapes in the studio for your label. With Yusef.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So on the original version, Yusef's verse is not on there because it wasn't like a, you know what I'm saying? It was just like a something I just did, you know.
So it's shorter, huh? Like
it's shorter.
Like 2 minutes,
it's
maybe?
It's no second verse. You know, there's no third verse.
Oh.
So then when we go to the studio and record it, Yusef redid the drums for me. So we changed some of the drum sounds for the studio version versus the four track version. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then we added the mix at the end. And then he added his verse, which is an amazing verse.
Oh, yeah.
And then every remix, he changes his verse.
Like,
so like, yeah, so like when you cause so when you hear like the original mixtape has got one verse, then we had like two other remixes, that's each different idea. Verse, and,
wow.
And he was like, "But you got to keep yours," you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying. He was like, "I'm gonna change mine, but you gotta keep yours." But no, it wasn't like that. Oh. It was like, he could see a little something that I couldn't quite grasp. Like he'll be like, "Bust that rhyme for me." You know, he'll still be like that. He'll be like, "Bust that, that I got this beat. Let me hear this." You know, like
you started off though. You make the song. You know, your verse. Everyone remembers your verse too.
Yeah, I mean,
mostly,
you know,
too, right?
So, I mean, it was just cool how that progressed. So it was
mixtapes. You can even go on YouTube. Historical legendary song from the Nonce. Please peep that out. Right?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, how we doing on time, man?
We're good. I want to see some of these pictures.
I want to see the drawings too, but I want to know your opinion, because you, man, you're like, I look at, you're OG to me, and I want your opinion on today's like music and stuff, because you come from an era where, I mean, for me, in my opinion, there's more integrity. It was more raw. And what do you think about cats now? Like the
so this is, I have a very complex view of it, but it's a forgiving view.
Okay.
You know, I haven't always felt that way. You know, like in the past couple of years, I've changed. I used to be like, shit is whack. It's not, you know, nothing that I'm feeling or anything, but it has something. You know, I must admit, it has something. It doesn't have the other thing that I want, but it's got some other thing. And that lets me know that it's in a stage. So the progression of this, it's coming. It's going to, like, these guys, like, they're doing it for, just like how hip hop unfolded here, different from New York. These people started rhyming now from a jump off that wasn't none of that. You know what I'm saying? So they got a whole other foundation that's not this foundation, and we, you know, help put it there. So, you know, they're actually building off of us.
Kendrick's tight. I like Kendrick.
No, Kendrick is dope. It's a lot of other dope people, but it's a lot of people that's like, you know, it's a lot of clutter and filler and it's a lot.
What do you think about the mumble rappers?
Same thing. It's something in it, but it ain't, you know, it's not perfected. It's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, see,
it's different.
I'm thinking of it like this. This is just a stage. You know, it's like skinny jeans. It's like that was, you know, we would have been talking crap about that, but that's past now.
With the cross colors and all that.
Now it's just gonna change and morph into something. So basically, we need to be sending them messages of how to get it right. You know what I'm saying? Like, instead of like telling them like, man, shit is garbage or whatever. Like, hey man, read a book. You know what I'm saying? Like, go, you know, invest in some more culture. And what will happen is now these guys here that are here might elevate and become rich scholars. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got fantasies. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna look at it like that. I don't want to look at it like, you know, this is so terrible. I'm gonna just look at it like it's a stage. You know, like it's an infancy. You know, we're gonna like, I mean, look at like our hip hop. It was basically a party rap. You know what I'm saying? Nobody really was going like, hey man, we all rapping about the disco. You know, you rapping about, you know, throwing your hands up or whatever. But then later, more, you know, like conscious rap came.
Yeah.
which gave you the perspective. Now, do you want to, you know, still be talking about throw your hands up in the air?
No, you're right.
Do you want to like progress? Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? So it was like a stage. It was like a party stage. Then it got like a display stage, like a skill stage. Then it got conscious. And then it got so conscious that it forgot everything and started over another cycle.
You ever peep out the Boogie Monsters?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like. I discovered them in college, and I'm like, they remind me of like the Far Side, but like from the East Coast.
But it's just cycles, you know what I'm saying? I don't get too caught up in it. I don't pay attention to it. My kids, they're in, you know, into everything that's, you know, basically popular right now, and I notice different things that like. Like when I hear stuff, like I hear the current stuff, I'm not gonna say any names. I'll just say
that's cool, man.
There's a couple people I would say like, oh, he sounds just like old boy. He sounds just like old boy. He sounds just like the same, you know. Well, my kids don't hear it. They don't hear that it sounds the same. Like that they're doing the same style. They don't even care. And I'd be like, so. I say, it don't bother you that dude sound like Drake and they be looking at me like, what are you tripping on? Like I'm taking it way too serious. But see, that's just, you know,
it's different. Man. It's different. They're just
like peep this. This is a trip one. All right. And my peers writing your rhymes is tantamount to your name. You know,
it's important.
Satch wrote it. You know what I'm saying? Not like maybe somebody wrote this or, you know what I'm saying? Because our impression when we started was that you write your own rhymes. That's, you know, it goes together. But in actuality, it didn't even start like that. Other people will rhyme other people rhymes that they wrote for them. You know, like you watch the Get Down, you see like all kind of like everybody, one dude writing the rhymes for the whole crew. Like we didn't understand that part. So like we had our own, like, oh, like seeing that is like shocking. Oh, you know, wow. Like it's like, because, you know, my jump off is a weird perspective. It's you know, I don't really know how to express that, but you feel me? Like we going like, oh, never, like I always write my own rhymes, when in reality our whole foundation was, you know, they was cool with that. You know, you didn't make a big deal about it, but they was, you know, cool with another MC, like, you know, being the genesis of, you know, just as long as they finally got their little chip. Which is back to, you know, like now.
Wow.
Like
it's so you're saying it's like repeating itself.
Yes, it's
in a
repeating
way.
Itself.
History is kind of repeating itself.
And if
in a
you
way.
Can see it, I mean, if you can open, you know, not judge it so tough, because, you know, we love it. It when it's not doing what we want it to do, we're going to complain and, you know, or try to. What best thing to do is just do example, make music. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm happy you're here.
Thank you.
I'm happy Satch is here. Because this guy is, he could, you know, you talked about some history there, especially West Coast history. People don't know a lot of the stuff that you talked upon. And what do you think, Bryce? Like, half the stuff I didn't know, you know, because I discovered just Yo MTV Raps, and then I'm like, oh, I saw Far Side Live because I'm from San Diego. And when I saw them for the first time, I'm like, oh, dude, these dudes are they're sick. Like their live show was so entertaining. Like Fat Lip was doing sit ups and their live show was so. I mean, it's hard to put into words because, you know, shows are different now. But back then they were like I saw them as performers and I don't know. So they're so animated and dancing and they just did it all.
I think now, speaking of performance, that's where I like to go with the shows, you know, like with actually bussing. There was a time where I felt it needed the example of a MC on the mic, you know, like in front of the mic, like just bussing. They needed that because it was going somewhere funny. So they needed that example. And I remember seeing it and I remember being like vowing, like, oh, I'm going to kill it. Every time I grab this microphone, I'm going to display. And, you know, just go for it instead of like, you know, holding, not say holding back, but just keeping it, you know. Now it's a little different.
Yeah, it's a lot different. Yeah, like one main thing that I noticed is cats like have their, instead of doing their performance, they have their lyrics already.
No-no.
But you know what I mean? But yeah. You know what I'm talking about. And then they'll kind of like, it's kind of like they're rapping over like a already their track.
Yeah, that's
instead of performing their song like live.
Yeah, that is terrible. If I come to see the MC needs to bust. I want to hear if you come to hear a singer, you're not coming to hear
singing over their own track.
Yeah, you come in to hear them get down right in front of you. That's what that's about. I've been to some terrible shows lately. I mean, I'm talking terrible. So terrible that I was like, should I intervene and say something to this man? And you know, like,
oh, you're just there just to chill and watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was feeling some kind of way about it because it was terrible. It was a toboggle. It was tough. They were rhyming. All right. Don't ever do this. Like they're rhyming. Their whole, it's like your demo. You bring it. They brought it to the show and performed over it. It wasn't a good look, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And everybody seemed like they was cool with it, and it wasn't something
it's cheating. It's kind of like cheating, dude.
Yeah, it was beyond cheating. Yeah. It was more like I didn't get it.
And well, you come from a different.
And I was like, well, if you wanted to practice, then you can just practice. But then it didn't even seem like they practiced. Yeah,
What's the point of doing a show then, man?
Exactly.
I don't get it.
Exactly. When I do a show, I try to tell the crowd to relax, because a lot of times they're shocked when I'm about to perform. They can't really fathom it, in a sense.
What? Why is that?
I don't know. It just might be my energy or something that sneaks up on them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then when I go, they usually like tense up. And when they tense up, we connect it. Might pull my muscles and different kind of things. So I always tell them, relax. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then we all relax and I perform.
That's cool, man. Wow, man. We good, man? Like,
oh, yeah. I want to see more stuff. We brought up.
Yeah, yeah, let's, yeah.
Can we break for just a moment, or?
Yeah.
Oh, let's do a little, you want to do a little Amazon Associates? Yeah, yeah, you're good. Yeah, we can break.
All right, cool.
And then I'm just going to, are you still filming? Yeah. Sorry, this is why I could do the little Associates. We're just doing a little commercial here.
All right, cool.
For those of you on Amazon, I'm an associate now, right, Bryce?
Yeah, official associate.
And I use nothing but the best. Wolfthorn Old Spice. Smell this.
Let's try it on there, Steve. Show them how you
smell that. Tell me it don't smell like real clean. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I use this. You can get this. So they just go on to a...
We have a store.
Amazon.com.
/shop/
Stevie Weeby, and make sure you get your Wolf Horn Old Spice.
And check the description. We have a link down there.
We have a link down there below. Can I do another one?
Let's do another one.
Okay, let me do another one. After I get out of the shower in the morning, I don't use anything else but Old Spice pomade. This stuff stays in your hair all day. Smell it. Smell this, dude. Sass, check it out. Just peep it out.
Fresh out of the shower.
Is that fresh or what? So, you know what I mean? Like, definitely go to the Amazon store and get you some Old Spice pomade. Get this kind. Can I do one more?
Let's do another.
Okay. So when I get out of the shower every morning, I use nothing but the best, Vaseline cocoa butter. I use it down there, on my, down there. I use it up here. I use it up here.
In that order?
Actually, I'll put some on my nose because it's dry. And smell it. Get, come on, man. Hold on. Let's edit that. No, here. Let's redo it. Smell it. Is that fantastic or what? Get your Vaseline. Get your Vaseline cocoa butter at the Amazon store. So it's Amazon.com, right? /shop/StevieWeeby. So I did three. Is that good? Okay.
Hey, this is Lil Ray. Why don't you press that button to subscribe to the Stevie Weeby Show, man? I'll see y'all later.
I subscribe to the Stevie Weeby Show, and it feels great. Oh, yeah.
Start to do time.
So what's this rhyme book, the Bibliomancy about?
It is my first book.
Yeah, here. So let's display it to the camera there. That's through Rhyme Press?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Rhyme Press.
Yep.
You can go order it on rhymepress.com. Mm-hmm. rhymepress.com. Mm-hmm. This is the first book on Rhyme Press and my first book. So it is a book of my best pieces. Mm-hmm. The pieces are special.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give the mic, Steve.
Yeah. Let's just start over. So what's that book you're holding there, Satch?
This is Rhyme Book Bibliomancy. This is my first book.
Through Rhyme Press.
Yes, through Rhyme Press. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also their first book as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a book of my poetry, my writings, mm-hmm. but my special writings, not mm-hmm. just any.
But poetry, writings. Yeah.
So there was a time, you know, we spoke earlier. I said something about wondering if I was going to get my artistic goatee and, you know, mustache, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Was it going to come? I mean, I felt that it came, you know, at a point, and it wasn't anything like I thought it was going to be, because I have no control over it. It just comes through me.
Yeah.
And the pieces that are in this book were all pieces that came through me.
That's cool, man.
Versus me doing it, it's a difference. Like if you listen to my catalog, you can spot out like that's me and that's beyond me, you know. So luckily cool. and gratefully, I'm blessed to have things that are beyond myself, in a form. So this captures it in the word, and it also it has a lot of other things that are going to be revealed in the future, which I won't go into. I'll let the world of literature break it down.
Okay, cool.
But it is something definitely that you want to have to study if you want to get into flow.
That's so cool. Where could they peep that or purchase that book?
This, just go ahead and go to rhymepress.com, rhymepress.com.
And don't you guys have a social? There's a social, Rhyme Press social, right, too?
Mm-hmm. On Instagram. Instagram.
Okay.
And you can, if you go to Satchel Pages, because everything is under Satchel Pages as well.
That is your Instagram,
that's
Satchel.
That's my Instagram,
so his Instagram,
my social.
Satchel Pages.
Satchel Pages, everything.
Yeah.
So you want to email me, you want to get at me on Twitter, mm-hmm. you want to Facebook, it's mm-hmm. all the same, you know, same name.
Where do they get all these beautiful albums? The World Ultimate, 1990.
Okay, so 1990,
mm-hmm.
go ahead and hit up Fat Beats.
Mm-hmm. They're online?
Yeah, they're online. So hit up Fat Beats. If you want this World Ultimate triple vinyl, just
they
hit,
want it. You need
hit me
and
up.
You need to get this, too.
Yep, and if you want
my favorite songs on here, Who
Side
Falls
of things.
Apart? Yeah,
Ian apart. Johnson did the covers for both of these pieces right
mm-hmm,
here,
mm-hmm.
and the most spiciest thing is Yusef's white tea. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then was really, really, really clowning. Besides the fact that the record sounds like amazing, I love the artwork. and it's like, it's called The Sight of Things, and it's like these really dope lines right through our sight.
I just peeped
you,
that.
You know what I'm saying? It's really low key, but it's like, it's like, yeah, huh?
That vision.
The Sight of Things, and it makes a perfect triangle, and it's like,
whoa. See that? I just peeped that. Thanks for
you know, so
that.
Shout out to Ian. So yeah, you can hit me up, Satchel Pages.
Oh, Deesky mastered
it. Mastered this.
Oh, shout out to Deesky.
That's why I was gonna tell you that.
Oh man,
the version,
I want to get version. 2Mex too. I don't. Yeah, remind me. I want to get 2Mex on here one day too.
It can happen.
I know Deesky.
The version of Who Falls Apart on here is super amazing. It's bomb.
Dope beat.
And it sounds even better now, you know, like, and I basically made it. Yeah. And it's like, I know how, like, you know, we originally it was on ADAT, and then we did 2-inch tape.
Dude, it's a beautiful chill beat.
Yeah. It sounds
I will never get sick of just listening to that beat. I could listen to it every day. Believe me, go peep out Who Falls Apart by The Nonce.
Yeah,
it's on YouTube too.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Someone's driving around and it's on there.
So that's like a, you know, you never know. The whole reason why Who Falls Apart sounds that way, because it was an era in how I had some equipment hooked up, and I had the limiter and the compressor reversed, and it gave, like, so when I thought I was compressing the sample, it was doing something to the limiter, because it was like crossed, like I had to plug.
So it's kind of by accident, like,
yeah,
you got that sound?
And it got that sound, like and I had that sound on a couple things for like half a year, because I didn't know
that.
I didn't know I had it plugged in,
because it looks like there's an effect on it, like reverb, but like,
and look, as soon as I fixed I was like, I should put it back. I should just.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's supposed to be on there. Hey, let's so man, don't you have a thing called The Living Room? Let's not forget that too. The Living Room, and the next shows you got.
Okay.
Like your event, your weekly.
There's it's called The Living Room. Mm-hmm. We do this at usually every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's on 11th Street, 1142. East 11th Street. It's called The Living Room. We rock from me, Self Jupiter. Well, me and Self Jupiter, we host it. And what it is strictly vinyl, strictly listening. You know, it's like, it's no performances so much. You know, it's like MCs or anything like that. It's just come listen to these records, because there's a lot of beautiful records.
Yeah.
And a lot of time, even, you know, like, people are playing stuff, nobody's taking time to actually hear, you know, great records, you know. So like, man, we got to play Miles Davis at club level.
Wow, dude. You know, how much is the cover, dude?
It's only $5.
$5, dude.
Five bucks.
Tell them the address again, dude.
1142 East 11th Street.
In LA.
So
that's a great concept of a night.
And it's amazing. So depending on what DJs are curating the sets, they'll take you on a whole mission, vision quest, you know.
It's
so
like
you're
real DJs are, huh?
And everybody is playing sets that want to expose you to what they like. You know, it's not like we're gonna play this because everybody expect you to play. Like, most time you're gonna hear everything you never heard, you know, like, but great things, you know. We just haven't been up on it.
And that's cool, man.
It's really, really, really fun.
I
like doing that. We also do, I did a release party at Mean Green's Playhouse in Hollywood, which was really dope. And that's going to be a big thing coming up this year. I got a project that I'm doing with Mean Green as well.
That's what's up. Hey man, do you still make your own beats and do you sell any of your production? Like, for cats who like listen to The Nonce, when they watch this episode, they might want one of your beats and be like, damn, he's a tight producer.
Just hit me up. You can, if you want to just listen to see, you know, what I'm on, just go to my Bandcamp, which is Satchel Pages
Music.
Or
if they want to buy one of your beats, beats, like there are artists, and they're like, dude, can I get?
Oh
one
yeah,
here?
Yeah. No, like I was just saying, you know, beat. Like you might want to, you know, test the road a little bit.
They'll listen to,
you know.
They'll definitely listen to the Nonce after this. So after but they
yeah,
listen to
it, yeah, just hit me up at my Gmail, and I do sell beats, but most time, you know, I want to do it in a different way. You know, I say like I sell the beat. You know, we're gonna work together. You know, what right. I'm saying we're gonna collab.
Yeah.
Like this is like once I do this, I don't want it to leave. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to control it. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
this
yeah.
my beat. Just you know, but I say we both
cultivate it. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people sell their beats. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's okay, but you know, you're gonna if it blows, you're gonna be kind of pissed. You just got like you know. Couple G's or something for it or whatever it was for it when you could get that ongoing money and royalty because you're a writer on it or something right, like that. You know, that's just a different way to approach it, you know. But yeah, if you would like to get some of my production, just hit me up, satchelpages@gmail.com.
Hell yeah. It was an honor having you, dude.
Thank you.
It was an honor. I was hyped when you just responded back. I want cats like you. That's what the Stevie Weeby Show is all about, man. I want people, because I want them to learn something they don't, you know, like a piece of history. Do you have any suggestions on who you think would be a good fit for this show? Well, we could discuss that after.
Yeah, right? We're going to discuss it after. Yeah, I think yeah, I got yeah. a handful.
Okay, sorry
but
about that.
I so, want
to... oh, shit. Oh, I forgot. Oh, because we got a box, too. So at this part of the show, I have to do a little shout out here to the Patreons and everything. So shout out to the new Patreons: Joseph Lee, Nikolai Lindy, Corey Pickle Dick, David Jang, and Joe. The people who bought my music, Vincent Salamat. Thank you, Vincent, because he bought Duraflame Pencil and the Lil Ray's Volume 4. Mikel Raymond, Lorenzo Orapiza, Philip Harris, and Jack Browning. Lil Ray's World Volume 4 is at stevieweebybandcamp.com. Be sure to follow Two Bunnies, the new Instagram. That's attached to Lil Ray at the very end that you're about to watch. And go to amazon.com/shop/ Stevie Weeby. And oh, shout out to Balloon Mechanic for editing all of the vlogs. Thank you, brother. I really appreciate it. Just want to give you a big thank you for putting all awesome editing in for the Stevie Weeby Show. And then we actually have a P.O. box, so if you could... I usually have the guest open it. I'll kind of crack it open. Then I don't know what this is. I usually guess. I feel like it's so light. Like a card or something?
I think a card.
Yeah, like a card. Let's see.
That's a note.
I'm going to read it. Okay, so there's a... Here. Let me see. I'm going to guess... Card.
It's a pretty big box for a card.
Okay, so here. Let me read it first. So this one is Love the Show. The Tunes, Keep It Up. I think, what do you think that says? Philip Gabriel Harris or Philip Harris? Sure. Oh no, his name's Philip Harris. Sorry, yeah, his thing's there. Okay. So I think it's a card.
Damn,
he gave me a... Is that a baseball cap?
Yeah.
Wow, he gave me a fit. Ooh, that's tough.
America, baby.
All right. God bless America, huh? Wow, this is great.
Oh, yeah, you fresh
out
the box.
With that being said, it's
time for... Fresh out the box.
Thanks for coming, man. We got to do a part two. I want to get more in depth, so part two in the future, too.
I would love to come back.
Lil Ray's World's next.
Welcome to Lil Ray's World Show. essays, kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens, dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world. To all the boys and girls. Welcome to Little Ray's world. Yeehaw!
What the hell do we got this week, man? Looks like a goddamn pencil. What's your name, little guy? Your name was Kent McHenry, and you were in eighth grade. Is that correct? And some bully tripped you, and a pencil got stuck inside your ear and you bled to death, didn't you? And you became a goddamn pencil, didn't you? I'm so sorry. Me and Beep will take you in. We wrote a song about you. It's called Kent the Pencil Man. This one's about Kent the Pencil Man.
Kent the Pencil Man.
Join us next week for another episode of Little Ray's World, man.